Greetings and welcome back to OU.org and www.etshalom.com. My name is Yitzhak Etshalom. We are studying Sefer Shmuel Aleph, and today we are going to study the 26th chapter, Perek Chavav, pursuant to the story, the successful story, of David's interactions with Naval, he died, and with Abigail, Naval's wife, who David married. We now come to a series of stories in this parak and the next, which seem to replicate in part some of the stories that we read in the chapters before Perak Chafhei, and there are different schools of thought of how to understand these stories. Are they different versions of the same story? Which is one possibility, but the other possibility is that they are entirely different stories, which is somewhat difficult because neither story makes reference to the other, even though some of the same characters, same regions, or same type of interactions are involved. We'll see. Vayavohu hazifim el Shaul hagivata lemor. Again, as we saw in Perek Chav Gimel, the zifim come up to Shaul and Givah, and they tell him, Halo, David mistater b'givat ha-chachila al-pnei ha-shimon. Same exact wording. David is hiding in the hill of Chachila, which is overlooking the desolate area, the Shimon. Here, in this case, Shaul comes down immediately with his, again, 3,000 men, select men, as opposed to the earlier story where he asked the Zifim to go ahead of him and check to make sure that David was not hiding, or where he was hiding. So to seek out David. So that's where Shaul camped out. And David, in the meantime, was in the midbar. Vayarkivah Shaul acharav hamidbar, and he saw that Shaul was following him. So now, what is David going to do? In the first story with the Zifim, David and Shaul indeed almost met, and David was being chased by Shaul when Shaul was interrupted from an outside source, the agent telling him that the Plishtim were attacking. Here it will play out quite differently. Vayishlach David meraglim vayeda kivah Shaul el nachon. Again, we have this phrase, El Nachon, and here it's most appropriate to interpret it as some have suggested, that El Nachon is a reference to an army camp. David found out from his spies, he sent spies, and he found that Shaul had indeed arrived at the army camp. Vayakum David, vayavo hamakom ha-shachana sham Shaul. And here we have a story that's very similar to the story in Gedi with the cave. We got up and came to the place where Shaul was camping. And he saw the place where Shaul was sleeping. He saw that Avner, Shaul's cousin, who was the chief of staff, and Shaul were sleeping in the Magal. If you recall the Magal from Perek Yud Zayin, it is the army base where they camp out, not the front line. And the nation, meaning the rest of his army, was sleeping around him. So there's a protective circle. But notice, they're all asleep. We'll talk about the word chiti here in a moment. So David then spoke to two of his closest soldiers, who we had not heard of until now. One of them is Achimelech Hachiti. Now, who is this fellow? Is this somebody who comes from a city that was a chiti city, like Hebron? Or is he somebody who's really from a Chiti lineage? And has David got non-Jews who are joining him in his battle? This will have great reflection and great impact on our study of the story of Bathsheba, whose husband is Uriah HaChiti, and what his identity. For right now, we will leave it unclear. David has somebody with him who's Achimelech HaChiti. Remember, Shaul also, his head of security, is a fellow who's an Adomi. And he speaks to Avishai ben Sriya Achi Yoav. We've never heard of Yoav yet, but we will hear of him very much in the next few chapters and in Shmuel Bet, and even all the way into Malachim. But Avishai is a brother of Yoav, and Avishai is a cousin of David, as we'll find out later on. He says, who will come with me to Shaul, to the camp? In other words, Shaul is sleeping, and we're going to do something to him in his sleep. The assumption these fellows have is we're going to assassinate him, as we will see. Avishai says, I'll go with you. It's a very frightening job. So they came to the army at night. The word vihine in narrative in Tanakh almost always introduces a surprise. And they come to the camp, and behold, Shaul is sleeping in the Magal. And that itself is not surprising, but the fact is they're able to come all the way to Shaul. In other words, nobody is guarding the camp. Remember his spear that he always kept in his hand, whatever all of those unfortunate interactions happened with David. Here he's got his spear as close to as possible. It's jammed into the ground right above his head. And the Avner and the nation are sleeping around him to protect him. But they're not doing a good job of protecting him. Here we have Shaul David. This again, as the men said to David in the cave, Sigar l'himayomato yivcha biyadecha. God has handed your enemy over to you today. I'll stake him one time through him and through the ground. If he's lying on the ground, I'll take the spear and stake him to the ground one time. Velo eshnelo means I won't do it twice. Means I won't need to do it twice. Now this, of course, is a reference back to Shaul's attempt to stab David against the wall in his house. And the first time it says that David dodged him twice. And so here the idea is, I'll be able to stab Shaul and in one time get the job done. And in very much the same manner, using his own spear to skewer you against the surface, skewer him against the surface. And David Avishal Tashchitehu, and David says, as he said in the cave, do not slaughter him. Ki mishalach adom shiach Adonai v'nika. Who is it that has acted against the Anointed One of Hashem and been cleansed or been blameless? In other words, again, we may hate Shaul, we may consider Shaul to be an enemy, whatever we may feel, nonetheless, he is Mashiach Hashem and you can't hurt him. There is a bit of a problem in this phrase that showed up in Chavdalan and shows up here. It's as if there's some sort of long tradition that everyone's familiar with about how to treat Mashiach Hashem. This is somewhat problematic because there is no Mashiach Hashem until Shaul shows up. He's the first one. And as a model, to say that, oh, we can't touch Mashiach Hashem when the one person who's ever had that title is an enemy and is dangerous and is chasing us, is a little bit difficult. One might argue that David said something a bit differently in the phrase on the editing of Sefer Shmuel, as we've seen in Perek Tet, that the final completion of the Sefer was generations later. Perhaps this is a borrowed phrase from later that then got substituted in for what David really said, that he is the king. In any case, David respects his office, not his person. David, and so David says, Chai Adonai, this is an oath, Ki im Adonai yigofenu, God will slay him, O yomo yavo, or his day will come, meaning he'll die of old age, v'meit, of machava yored v'nispa, or he'll go to war and he'll be killed there. In other words, David says he's going to die, one day he's going to die, he may die of old age, he may die because God's going to plague him, and that exactly fits with what happened to Naval. We saw the exact same word, v'yigof Hashem. Or he'll go to war and die, which is, for those of you who are familiar with the later story, that's exactly what happens. Chalila l'mei Adonai, mishloach adi Mashiach Adonai. Again, as we saw earlier, it says, God forbid that I would attack the Mashiach of Hashem. Ve'ata kachna tachanit Hashem rashotav, v'tzapach adamai menachal lanu. Let's take the spear and the container of water that's near his head, and let's go. So again, like with cutting the garment in the cave in En Gedi, David takes evidence of the fact that he had come very close to Shaul when Shaul was vulnerable, and takes off. So he took these items, nobody saw them, nobody knew about it, and nobody woke up, all of them were sleeping. Why? God's sleep had fell upon them. This is a phrase that does not show up since the very, very beginning of the Tanakh, when in the second story of creation, Perek Bet, Adam is put to sleep, and Vayir Adam, and then Chava is created. So this takes us back to a very, very early story in Tanakh, but not only that, but it takes us to the point of maximum vulnerability. And that's exactly what's happened here. This sleep is miraculous, the fact that everyone's asleep. But David is not going to play it that way, as we will see in a moment. Vayavor David ha'aver, David went to the other side, meaning he went to the adjacent mountain, as we'll see. Vayamor orosh ha'har, he went up to the top of the mountain, me'rachok, again, like in En Gedi, from a distance. Rav ha'makom b'nehem, the text makes the point that there was a great distance between them. Vayikra David al ha'am ve'al Avner ben Ner le'mor. Now David called out in the middle of the night to the army and to Avner, and he said, Halo ta'ane Avner, answer Avner. Ve'anavim vayomer, mi ata karata l'malach. And Avner says, anybody who's calling me is calling my master. He says, who are you? Who's calling the king? Vayomer David al Avner, halo ishata, aren't you a man? There is none like you, as a soldier means. Why did you not watch your master, the king? In other words, you have been delinquent in your job as a guard. Again, David, as we saw earlier, relates to himself. He's just a simple person. A simple gnat, a dead dog, as we saw earlier. He says, one of the members of the nation, one of the people, came to kill the king, and you were asleep on the job. How could you do such a thing? This is not a good thing that you've done. By God's name, by God, he's taking an oath by God that you guys should die. Not Shaul should die. You should die for not watching him. You did not watch your master, Mashiach Hashem. And, of course, the first thing Avner is going to say is, I don't believe you. So he said, take a look, see if you can find the king's spear or the king's water vessel. Vayaker Shaul would call David, Vayomer HaKocha Zebni David, and again, as we saw earlier, when Shaul has this reaction of an emotional surge towards David, which is positive and somewhat nostalgic, and again evoking the scene with Yitzchak and Yaakov, HaKocha Zebni David, is this your voice, my son David, my son? David Koli Adonai Melech, and he said, yes, it is my voice, my master, the king. Again, why are you chasing me? What have I done bad? What have I done evil? Now, in the earlier presentation, David basically took the assumption that somebody's been bad-mouthing him to Shaul, and that's why Shaul's chasing him. Here, David presents two possibilities. Listen to me. Im Adonai hasidcha bi, if somehow God has set you against me, then yarach mincha. In other words, let's bring a korban, and we'll please God with the korban, and God will stop putting us against each other. David here seems to be recognizing the possibility that there is some divine confusion coming down, not confusion on the part of the divine, but divinely inspired confusion in the relationship between them. And David says, there's no reason for that. Let's appease God with a korban. Kind of a strange attitude towards korbanot. V'im b'nei ha'adam, but if it's people, which is the only possibility given earlier, aruim hem lifnei Adonai. They are cursed before God. Why? Ki gershuni hayom istapech menachlat Adonai lemor lechavod Elohim achirim. They have sent me away from taking part in Nachlat Hashem, telling me that I should go worship other gods. Now, the famous drasha of this in the Gemara, at the end of Masechet Ketubot, is if somebody has to leave Eretz Yisrael, it's like they're worshiping other gods, because after all, David had to leave. The question is, was David really in Chutz Laaretz? Did he at any point really leave Eretz Yisrael? And at this point, he certainly is not in Chutz Laaretz when he's saying this. Or does he mean, perhaps, that the fact that I have had to participate in either separation from the nation or in working with people and with other people may be akin to adjoining another nation? This is, of course, what's going to happen in the next parak when he moves to Pleshet. Either way, he is defaming whoever it is who is denouncing him to the king, because, of course, for David's money, either Shaul has been pushed by God to do this and we must come together to appease God, or other people have been defaming him, and those people are cursed because they're doing a terrible thing. David says, my blood should not spill in front of God. You've come out to seek a gnat like a bird in the mountains. Again, Shaul says, I've sinned. But of course, Shaul's oaths and Shaul's confessions don't end up meaning much. Shuv b'ni David, come back, my son David. Kilo ara lecha od, I will not do any more evil to you. Tachat asher yakar nafshi b'einach hayom hazeh, hineskalti v'ashkar b'meod. In place of the fact that my soul, my life has become very important to you on this day, in other words, you did not kill me, and again here you could have killed me, I was sleeping, you have my spear, you were right next to me. Hineskalti v'ashkar, I have done foolish things and made errors greatly. So David's response is, I'll give you back your spear, but I'm not coming back. You've already shut that door too many times. And he said, let's send one of the boys over to get the spear. And God should pay back, again as we saw earlier, the righteousness and the trust, meaning mine, that God handed you over to me, and I did not choose to hurt the anointed one of God. And again, as we saw several times earlier, David says, midah keneged midah, just as your life has become precious in my eyes, meaning, and I did not kill you, similarly, my life should be important in God's eyes. Not just as I esteem you, God should esteem you, but rather just as I have not hurt you, God should protect me, mikol tzara. And this is David's Weltanschauung that he presents throughout, that my behavior towards you will then be a model or set the tone, this is his prayer, for God's behavior towards me and God's relationship towards me. Here Shaul echoes something that we heard earlier, that he says, you are blessed, you're going to be successful. And again, David and Shaul go their separate ways. However, this time, for truly the last time, they separate. And we will see in a very short chapter tomorrow, in the next podcast, where David ends up going. And then we will follow Shaul as he begins his final path, which will first lead him to Ein Dor and Perek Chafchet. Everybody should have a wonderful day.